It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us. The most watched and most liked new news and politics podcast in America. Yeah. Thank you to our crack staff, our fine producer, and to Donald Trump. Donald Trump for giving us the material that we need to be good. Also, to Donald Trump for making it okay to just make shit like this up, which is what I just did. But it's okay. This is Trump's America. I could just make stuff up and go with it. So we are the most watched and the most awarded new political podcast in America. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of the stock market, we're here in the aftermath of the stock market correction, which happened, of course, right after Donald Trump's State of the Union address, where he talked about how great he was for doing such wonderful things for the stock market, thus apparently causing the stock market to crash. Let me just point out that I am awfully glad that I am not planning on flying a commercial airline anywhere anytime soon, given how Donald Trump was just taking credit for the fact that there are no air crashes anymore. Uh-oh, that could be ugly. Anyway, on today's show, discussion of the Republican Party, bipartisanship. Is democracy alive in America? And a little bit of the latest crap on tax cuts and Russia, and who knows what else if we have the time. Anyway, starting right in, a Quinnipiac poll this week, and Quinnipiac University is one of the reputable polling sites, a Quinnipiac poll released this week says that 72% of Republicans consider Trump a good role model for children. It's seriously not funny. It's really not funny. We talk about bipartisanship. Every show, we reach out for bipartisanship. What could we do to be a more bipartisan country? How do you bipartisan this? How do you meet in the middle of a political party that believes that Donald Trump is a good role model for children? What do we say? Well, okay, we'll give you children 12 and above. He's a good role model for children 12 and above. The whole pussy grabbing thing, whatever, sexual harassment, 12 and above. We'll call it the Roy Moore compromise. Okay, because it only works if they're 12 and above. All right, how do you reach compromise on this? How do you become bipartisan? The President of the United States, the New York Times, I love the New York Times, okay? But like the rest of the so-called liberal media, it bends over backwards to be fair and to show how fair, honest, middle of the road it is. And so after Trump's State of the Union address, when everyone was talking about how ridiculously partisan and what red meat that was for his base, the New York Times wrote a headline that said, Trump seeks bipartisanship in his State of the Union address. They were the only ones who were saying that, but okay, whatever, they're trying. Well now, a couple of days, or today, yesterday, whatever it was, the Times says, oops, not so much. That was the title of the article, I think, oops, not so much. They're rethinking the whole bipartisanship thing. Why? I guess when you call your rival political party treasonous because they didn't clap for you enough during the State of the Union, this is not the makings of bipartisanship. Again, he can't call out Vladimir Putin and Russian trolls as treasonous. So I guess bipartisan in America means a coalition between the president and the president of Russia. Where do you find bipartisanship here? Okay, when you're Mussolini, there's just not a whole lot of... Yes, as Hitler was to Mussolini, Vladimir Putin is to Donald Trump. We've got a Mussolini. At least it's not a Hitler, so that's good. Put that on the bumper stickers. We've got a guy who is an autocrat who takes his political opponents and says they should go to prison. The latest coming out today, my producer was the first one to alert me to this. Donald Trump wants a military parade for him. I said to my producer, you're making this up. But then I went and checked and it's true. We have a president who looks at North Korea as a role model. This is not acceptable. I don't know how you reach out for bipartisanship when a party is this insane. Normally I would say that bipartisanship isn't even possible within the GOP. Where you've got all these, what's seen as what's left of intellectuals in the Republican Party, who can't stomach the rise of Trumpism. On the other hand, here's another poll that just came out. 90% of Republican voters approve of Donald Trump. So maybe there is unity. They're all fucking nuts. You know, I try to be nice. Seriously, rightly, people have said to me, you've got to stop calling Trump supporters fucking morons. And I understand that. I don't mean to belittle people like that. So we've reached out. We've tried to meet you halfway. I now call fucking morons Trump supporters. It seems nicer. It somehow seems more mellow. If I think you're a fucking moron, I just say Trump supporter. So, but, I mean, you got to reach out a little bit. You got to, halfway, no. A third of the way, a quarter of the way, stop running away. Anyway. So anyway, this week, all my podcasts, several that I listen to, are all asking the question, is U.S. democracy under threat? And I listen to that question being debated on my podcast, and of course, I'm talking while I'm listening to them, but they're not listening. So I have the opportunity now to have the conversation with them that I don't have when I'm listening to them. First off, as we've talked about at length on this show, can we please stop using democracy and United States in the same breath? We don't have any aspect of democracy in this country. When the president lost the popular vote by 3 million votes, when the Senate majority represents 44% of the American public and the Senate minority represents 56% of the American public, you don't have, and the Senate itself, forget it, you don't have democracy. When the House of Representatives, which is supposed to be democratic, is so gerrymandered that even a conservative Supreme Court, we think, may possibly come back and say, oh boy, this is too much. We can't deal with this. We don't have democracy. When the American public is this uninformed and this misinformed, that we have no clue what's going on and what we think is going on isn't, we can't call this democracy. So can we please start asking the question, is U.S. pseudo-democracy dead? That's the term we should be using. Pseudo-democracy. It acts like democracy, but it's not. Anyway, the other problem with that question is, why are we limiting it to the U.S.? We are having implications on the rest of the world. What about world democracy? Can it survive? Because here's another New York Times headline this week that was a little bit sobering. Autocrats steamroll opponents with no objections from U.S. The President of the United States finds kinship with foreign autocrats, dictators, far more than with foreign democracies. The President of the United States tries to style himself after foreign dictators rather than foreign democracies. The threat isn't just here. It's everywhere. But it's here, too. We have the autocrat right here, as we mentioned before, who tells us that his political opponents are engaging in treason and presumably should be hung, which I guess is the only way to go down from locking up his political opponents that he's been asking us to do since he started on the campaign trail. The whole military parade thing, this is not democratic. The fact that one political party and its voters has gone completely insane, lives in a false reality. I heard Chris Matthews briefly saying last night, we live in two different realities. There's two different worlds right now, as if there really are two different realities. This is a threat. Not only is it a threat, but maybe it's halfway gone at least already. So let's talk about the threat that's posed by Trump and his cronies. Let's start with our governing institutions. A president of the United States who can muse out loud, I would love a government shutdown. That's just one example of what he's doing to undermine our political institutions. Look what he has done to the office of the presidency. How he has surrendered our moral authority at home and abroad by being a pathetic excuse for a human being. To look back to the wonderful days of Obama, when the right would get all exercised over the fact that Obama wore tan in the Oval Office. Again, it's not a joke. He saluted holding something, and they got all upset. And now we've got the pussy grabber in chief, a man who can't speak to the special counsel. Because even if he doesn't have to lie, he will anyway. We know that, just because that's his default position. His tendency to authoritarianism, over and over and over, what he has done to the presidency. Let's talk for a moment about release the memo. Let's talk specifically what release the memo is not about. Do you know what release the memo is not about? It is not about what they are now saying it is about, which is about fairness and accountability in U.S. intelligence agencies, reining in an out-of-control FBI. Give me a break. Not only are these the same guys who just a few weeks ago voted to increase power of FISA courts, these are the guys who've spent the first year of their presidency attacking the Black Lives Matter movement, attacking NFL players who kneel. Forget the fact that they're attacking free speech, so much for believing in U.S. institutions and values. They are actually protesting for the same thing that the Republicans are now calling for, which is to rein in supposedly out of control law enforcement agencies. It's crazy. And their voters don't understand how fast their heads are spinning. They don't understand that blue and red exist at the same time in different spheres. Truth and justice is not what the release the memo is about. What the Republicans wrote is bullshit. Okay, the FBI is the interested party here, so the fact that they have grave concerns about material omissions of fact that fundamentally impact the memo's accuracy, okay, maybe we could take that with a grain of salt. The fact that Donald Trump is now weighing, as Donald Trump thoughtfully does, to weighty issues by watching Fox and Friends and tweeting, I suppose, and deciding what to do based on what Fox and Friends tells him. The actual thoughtful response, which based on what the whole memo turned out to be, the Nunes memo turned out to be, the Democrats' response should just be, oh, never mind. Why bother? You haven't made a point here. The one thing Release the Memo has shown is even if you're not crooks, how do you hire a guy that the FBI is listening to because they have grave concerns that he's in league with Russian spies? Where is your vetting process? Again, the defense from the Trump administration, and maybe this won't look good in front of the special counsel, is we're not crooks, we're fucking stupid. I don't know how to, which brings us to incompetence and cronies. Filling our government with incompetence and cronies. As Benjamin Wittes said, the founder of Lawfare blog, I think said it succinctly, describing the Trump administration as malevolence tempered by incompetence. It's a great way to succinctly put it. The best thing we have going for us is that these guys are the Keystone Cops, the gang that couldn't shoot straight. I'm looking for an example that some of my listeners might actually know of because it was in your generation. Just a symbol of absolute incompetence. A Trump, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what better symbol you guys have in your generation for incompetence than the president himself. This whole thing about ass kissing is no longer funny. That's dictator stuff. When you sit around a conference room and all the people you've hired to fill your government agencies just tell you how great you are, Mr. Trump. When you stand up and talk about how important addressing our opioid problem is, and the drug control agency is run by a 24-year-old recent college graduate who worked on your campaigns, when you're filling your courts not just with incompetence, but with religious zealots, democracy may be on its last legs. When Congress is filled with supplicants, when you give a State of the Union address, and the Speaker of the House sits behind you, no, that's the Vice President. That's the Speaker. Yeah, that's the Speaker of the House. This is a problem. When Rand Paul goes on Colbert's show, Colbert says, "You called the guy a moron and a jackass, and now you're standing up and applauding him." And Rand Paul, I was going to show you this clip, but we're late on time. Rand Paul, should I show the clip? We got a minute. Let's show the clip. If I could show the clip. We're late on time and I don't know how to work a computer.
But when you were running against Donald Trump, you said Trump would be a terrible president. In that seat right there on this show, over 2 years ago, you said he's a blowhard who's unqualified to be the commander-in-chief specifically because he didn't even know what the nuclear triad was. Now it's like stand up and he says nice things.
Here's the thing, Steven. I'm gonna let you in on a secret, okay?
Sure.
So every time I was stood up last night and I was clapping myself. That was me clapping for myself.
Okay.
That's so funny.
You misinterpreted that whole clap thing.
Let's talk about something.
Okay. Then there's a cut, because I'm sure Stephen Colbert actually went after him for that one, because Stephen Colbert does a good interview. Watch that interview on YouTube. It goes after him a couple of times very successfully. We've talked about reasoning fallacies on this show. If you're a longtime viewer, did you notice the equivocation? Ha ha ha, I make a joke. Why is it that you're standing up and applauding and supporting this guy that you think is incompetent, not qualified to be president? I says, ha ha, I was standing up and clapping for myself. That's funny. It, of course, doesn't answer the question. And to be fair, if the guy's not qualified to be president and have the nuclear launch codes, why are you standing up and clapping for him? But this is what's happened in the Republican Party. Remember when the sane guy, the adult in the room, was supposed to be Chief of Staff John Kelly? Well, either we didn't realize what an asshole he was, or like everybody else, just being around Trump has soiled him. You know, speaking of dreamers, some say they're lazy, and that's why they didn't sign up as dreamers. You know, those brown-skinned people, remember dog whistle politics? This is the adult in the room who's now engaging in dog whistle politics. You know those Hispanics, they're lazy. Some say, okay, some say John Kelly molests poodles. Some say he's an asshole. Some say. This is actually a Trump tactic that he uses all the time. He's definitely picked that one up from Trump.
Straw person, you think? Or?
Straw person fallacy, that works. Yeah, certainly blaming, making believe that it's somebody else and shifting responsibility. It's about shifting blame, shifting responsibility. The war on the free press, on the media, which kind of used to be a joke until we see the makings of autocracy in America. But let's be clear on this. There has been a war on journalists around the world for a long time. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, almost 1,300 journalists have been killed since 1992. 819 of them murdered. 262 journalists were imprisoned in 2017. I'm guessing they don't think it's funny that this guy gives license to every brutal dictator around the world to arrest his journalists. It's not a joke anymore. This is part of the wider assault on reality. My producer, Damien, was talking to me about Twitter. What's the latest you were telling me about Twitter today? They've stepped it up a notch, right? The Russian bots have stepped it up a notch on Twitter.
Yeah, so apparently the tactic is now to pose as a member of the resistance to create a hive that's really full of a nest of Russian bots and trolls to lure in actual folks who are part of the resistance and then to discredit them by outrageous means and so diminishing their influence on Twitter.
So they're no longer just lying, they're even dressing up better before they go lying, right? They're dressing up better. Before they just said, whatever, they posed as conservatives when they weren't conservative Americans. Now they're actually posing as liberals to discredit.
Yeah, they seem to have lost the big black poofy hat.
Yeah, good luck to you all keeping this straight. It's a good thing you got Forward Nation Radio. Anyway, attacks on civil society in general. I shouldn't be making a joke here. This is deadly serious. The Anti-Defamation League reports that incidents of white supremacy on college campuses are up dramatically. We already noted how 58% of Republicans think that college is bad for America. There is a war on education, because education is the enemy of voting Republican. Recently, the Kansas Supreme Court joined the list of state courts that have found their education system not complying with the state constitutional mandate to educate children. This happened in New York several years ago, even before Bush administration tax cuts. And the appellate court in New York said, well, as long as New York's educating its students to be fry chefs, it's okay. They're complying with their constitutional mandate. And now we've got the Supreme Court in Connecticut joining suit. The Supreme Court in Connecticut just ruled, or a court in Connecticut, I don't remember if it's the Supreme Court, ruled that Connecticut was meeting its educational requirement under the Connecticut Constitution. Here's what the superintendent of the Bridgeport Public Schools had to say about that. A functionally illiterate person could get a Bridgeport high school degree. This is complying with an educational mandate? How does one respond to this, to the threat on America? This is the question, I guess, that you all presumably hang for. Where is the hope here? Let's not all go home and get drunk now. Or apparently go to the bathroom at my college and get high by breathing in the smoke. But a private joke there. First of all, how does one respond to this? The first thing, ridicule. Ridicule. They need to be ridiculed. They need to be shown to be as ridiculous as they actually are. Call this the Wile E. Coyote strategy. Keystone Cops, again, Wile E. Coyote at least is more relevant for incompetence. Show how incompetent they are. Ridicule them, not just their policies. Send us your best, I don't know, ridiculous jokes, memes that you create to show how preposterous they are. The same thing that works on boggarts maybe someday will work on Republicans. Really? Not a Harry Potter fan in the freaking bunch? Who are you people? The Keystone Cops, you got. Harry Potter, not, they're not that old, trust me. Be vocal on social media. Push back. Respond. Let your voice be heard. More than that, share with others. Meet up with others. Join a meetup group. Join action groups. Get involved with Move On. Go to other people's homes to a Move On group. Have people to yours if you can shoehorn them in. In-person activism. Show up for the next march. I know it's a pain in the ass. I know it takes your valuable time. But it's actually uplifting. It's rewarding. You hang out at a march and you say, maybe there is hope for America, because you're around thoughtful, intelligent, caring people. You may meet people you actually want to associate with. And last but not least, procreate. Or maybe, as we said in our very first show, don't procreate with a Trump supporter. Anyway, the latest briefly on Russia. I was asked in class the other day, what's it all about? What's the Russia thing all about? I know we've been talking about it a lot. I want to simplify it for our new viewers. I asked my class, we know for a fact that a hostile rival foreign power interfered with the U.S. election and with U.S. pseudo-democracy. Misinformed Americans engaged in a propaganda campaign in America. Do you think we should be looking into that? Do you think we should be doing something about that? And their response, well, of course. Is there any sane person's response would be? He said, of course. I said, congratulations. You're apparently not a Republican congressperson. Again, not funny, but kind of funny. And then I said, and there is a lot of information that indicates people in the presidential administration may have been complicit in that effort to undermine U.S. democracy. Should we look into that? Again, all affirmative. You apparently are not a Republican congressperson. Finally, the President of the United States may very well be being blackmailed by a hostile foreign power, because he may have criminal ties that the hostile foreign power knows about. And I'm not even talking about the P-tape yet. Should we look into that? Of course we should. Again, unless you're a Republican congressperson. That's the Russia story in a nutshell. Last, very quickly, it would be remiss for me to leave today without discussing the Speaker of the House and his tweet about Costco. You really can't make this shit up. The Speaker of the House of Representatives, the third in line for the presidency of the United States, which normally is just an academic statement, except considering the two in front of him, like he could become the president. Seriously. the third in line for President of the United States, tweets how wonderful it was that a secretary in his district or something said, with my $1.50 a week extra from the Trump Republican tax cut, that pays for my Costco membership. Okay. He tweeted that. That's a wonderful thing. Let's ignore the fact that it doesn't give her any money to buy anything at Costco, but okay, she could go there for the free samples. They do have good free samples. You could eat there. It's okay. So maybe that's what they're at. Maybe that's what they're after. You can eat. Who said we don't feed you three meals a day? Go to Costco.
With the
$78 we've given you, go to Costco.
Let her eat cake.
Eat all year. Let her eat cake. Forget the condescension for a moment. Oh, how wonderful she's got $1.50. Oh, how wonderful she's too ignorant to understand that she's going to need that $78 to pay for all the government services she's no longer getting. The school supplies her school will no longer provide. The library membership that will no longer be free. The tickets from red light cameras that will now proliferate all over the place because we don't have any money. It also gave us an opportunity to point out how the Koch brothers, the puppet masters of Paul Ryan and the rest of the GOP, may save up to $1.4 billion a year in taxes. They could buy Costco memberships for their fucking state, but they won't because they're the Koch brothers and they don't share. ExxonMobil is gloating that it will save $6 billion from the GOP tax cuts. Gosh, lady, how wonderful you're going to save $78 a year. They've solved all your problems because I'm sure it will trickle down. This was pointed out in the one scientific effort to understand what companies are going to do with the tax cut, the trillion-dollar tax cut they were just given. HR firm Willis Towers Watson polled people and discovered that 3% have given workers a benefit, a raise or a bonus with that tax cut. 4% say they're planning to. 13% say they're considering planning to. 80% just say, give me a break. We're not doing any of that crap. We're keeping it. Good luck with democracy in America. Anyway, that's today's show. In case you haven't noticed yet, Facebook and Twitter suck. And I seriously hate having to use them. They make me. You probably do it intentionally. If you're going to use Facebook, if you're going to use Twitter, please like us. Go check out our website, which is more trustworthy. I mean, if you're going to use that shit, at least make it worthwhile. Go to forwardnationradio.com, get the full experience, and don't give money to Facebook. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss our next podcast on podbean.com. Unfortunately, you miss the great graphics if you do that. But you get the rest of the show anyway. If you like what you heard, please like us on Facebook and all the other evil avenues of social media. Spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.